the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who allowed none to witness when He created the heavens and the earth, and who took no helper when He authored the spirits. He has no associate in divinity and no support in unity. Tongues fall silent before the limits of describing Him. Intellects fail before the core of knowing Him. Terrors fall low in awe of Him. Faces are humbled in fear of Him. And everything mighty yields to His mightiness. So to Thee belongs praise again and again, well measured, continually and methodically. And may His blessings be upon His messenger endlessly, and His salutation everlastingly, eternally. O Allah, make the beginning of this day of mine righteousness, its middle prosperity, and its end success. I seek refuge in Thee from a day whose beginning is fright, and whose middle is anxiety, and whose end is pain. O Allah, I pray forgiveness from Thee for every vow I have vowed, and every promise I have promised, and every pledge I have pledged, then failed to keep for Thee. I ask Thee concerning the complaints of Thy servants against me. If there is a servant from among Thy servants, of a handmaid from among Thy handmaids, who has against me a complaint, because I have wronged him in respect to himself, his reputation, his property, his wife or his child, or because evil words I have spoken about him in his absence, an imposition upon him through inclination, caprice, scorn, zeal, false show, bigotry, whether he be absent or present, alive or dead, such that my hand has fallen short and my capacity has been too narrow to make restitution to him or to annul my obligation to him, I ask Thee, O He who owns all objects of need, which are granted by His will and hastened to His desire, that Thou blessest Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, peace be upon them, and makest the one I have wronged satisfied with me in the manner that Thou willest, and givest me mercy from Thee. Forgiveness decreases Thee not, and giving injuries Thee not. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, give me on every Monday two favors from Thee: the facility to obey Thee at its beginning, and the favor of Thy forgiveness at its end. O He who is Allah, and none other than whom grants forgiveness for sins.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah al-Nur, Salamun alaikum. On a very special occasion, we say salam to all of you because today is the birthday anniversary of one of our imams, in the Shia school of thought, today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Kazem, peace be upon him. Dear brothers and sisters, accept our congratulations on this big and special Eid.
Families are gathering, remembering Allah, and that His love is the greatest by far. All praise for you, Allah, all thanks to you. The joy of Eid comes only from you.
Today, Sunday, is the 20th of Zilhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. So today is a special occasion. We learn about Imam Musa al-Kazem in this episode of today's special. He is the best of the best. God does not haphazardly choose his representatives. God does not simply choose the oldest son of a prior imam to be his successor. That would be tantamount to monarchical inheritance, which may or may not elect the most qualified individuals. Rather, Allah chooses and promotes the best of his creation in accordance with his comprehensive knowledge of all his creatures. However, the Almighty would only choose his representatives based on the quality of perfection which he knew of and which manifested through his creation. It has been narrated that the sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq, peace be upon him, advised his close companions with the following: "Treat Musa, this son of mine, well, for indeed he is the best of my offspring and the one I leave behind as my successor. After me, he is the one who holds my position, and he is the proof in support of Allah, the Glorious and the Exalted, as a witness upon the entirety of his creation." Thousands of congratulations on the birthday anniversary of one of the greatest men of Allah, the Imam Musa al-Kazem, peace be upon him.
You find that Imam al-Kazem also implemented the teachings of his grandfather. I'll tell you a quick story. The Imam lived in the city of Al-Madinah. In the city of Al-Madinah, there used to be a Wahhabi man, today's Wahhabis. He was a Nasibi who hated Ahlul Bayt. Every time he would pass by the Imam, he would make fun of him, he would mock him, and he would insult him. So one day, the companions of the seventh Imam, they gathered and they said, "You know what? Enough is enough. This man has overdone it. And now we have to seek revenge for the Imam. We have to put him to a stop. What do? Let's kill him." So they decide to assassinate him. They go to the Imam to ask for permission. "This person, every day he insults you. We want to go and kill him." So they wanted to resort to violence to get rid of this enemy. The Imam right away told him, "What? You want to kill him? No way, never." And it's not just because the Imam that will make him look bad. The Imam tells him, he tells his companions, "This in itself is a failed strategy. Every time someone insults you, you want to go pick a fight with them? How many fights can you pick? You know, when you're in high school, everyone that looks at you in a way, you don't like it, you're getting cocky with me, you want to go throw a fist. How many fights can you get engaged in, correct? So there must be a better method than just to fight whoever insults you." The Imam says, "Let me show you, not just tell you, let me show you a much better method. Instead of going and fighting against your enemy, turn your enemy into a friend." How? Now this requires wisdom. The Imam alayhi salam, the next day, he asks for his address, the person who would insult him every day, the Nasibi. They tell him he has a farm outside the city of Medina. He takes a bag filled with money, golden coins, And he goes to that man's farm. The man is taking care of his plants, his garden. The imam, he comes off his mule and he starts approaching him. So this man is surprised now. What is the imam doing here? He probably has come to seek revenge. He wants to come and fight me. He wants to come and hurt me. He arrives at the imam. As soon as he arrives, the imam does one important but very easy thing. He smiles at his face. Do not underestimate the power of one smile. One smile, sometimes in the face of your enemy, if it's a true smile, not that evil smile I'm talking about. You know, the innocent smile, that I come in peace. That can diffuse so much of the tension. Just that one smile. And then he says, salam. And he takes out the money. He says, I have brought you this as a gift. That man says, I was so shocked and embarrassed, I wish the earth would swallow me. I insult this guy for years and he comes and he brings me a gift. The next day, the companions of the imam do not know what had happened. They come to the masjid to sit with the imam. All of a sudden, they see this enemy. He's sitting and waiting for the imam. What does he want? He's waiting as if he's a student of the imam. They go to the imam. They tell him, what's going on? He tells them, I made this person, this enemy, I made him into a friend. You guys wanted to kill him. I had a much better idea. All I did, a kind act. If you do a kind act even to your greatest enemy, at the end of the day, that person has feelings and emotions. He's a human being. You can easily attract that person's heart.
We're here on this special day. Our hearts are full of pleasure. A day that brings the two of you close together. We're gathered here to celebrate a moment you'll always treasure. We ask Allah to make your love last forever. Let's raise our hands and make dua like the Prophet taught us. And with one voice, let's all say, say, say.
We learn about his titles. His most famous title was Al-Kadhim, that means anger controller. He was known also as Abdus Saleh, the righteous servant of Allah. In Medina, he was known as Zainul Mutahajjidin, the greatest worshipper. After his martyrdom, another title was made for him that superseded other titles. There was Babul Hawa'ij. What does it mean? It means the gate to fulfilling needs. As he was known for his miracles and that his prayers for people were met with favorable responses. Congratulations to all Shia Muslim brothers and sisters on the birthday anniversary of Imam Musa al-Kazim, peace be upon him.
Eid al-Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Eid Sa'id, let's enjoy this happy day. Eid Mubarak, come on, let's celebrate. Celebrate, let's celebrate. Allah, Allah, thank you for this day.
In this part, we'll listen some sayings of Imam al-Kazim, peace be upon him. He said, addressing Hisham ibn Hakam, who was his companion and student. O Hisham, the pleasure of this life are just like water sea. The more a thirsty man drinks from it, the thirstier he becomes. O Hisham, Allah has against the people two hujjah, two evidences that cannot be argued against. One is apparent and the other is concealed. The apparent one is the messenger, prophets, and the imams he designated, while the concealed one is represented by the gifts of minds. O Hisham, the life of this world was once embodied to the prophet Isa, peace be upon him, in the form of a woman of blue complexion. He asked her, how many people have you been married to before? So many, replied she. And everybody divorced you, asked the Christ. No, but I killed everybody. Prophet Jesus said, "Wow to your potential husbands. Why shouldn't they take the former husbands as examples?" He also said, "A believer holds two scales of a balance. The greater his faith becomes, the greater the test he will be subject to will be."
When you look at the time of the seventh Imam, you know, he also actually lived in the circumstances of taqiyya more than any of the Imams before him. And I'll just give you one example that when it comes to the situation of the seventh Imam, all the Imams who came before, still, they lived at a time where it was possible for them to publicly announce their successor, at least among the Shia community. But by the days, last days of the sixth Imam, it became so difficult. And this is amazing that now you have Banu Abbas. The Hashimid rulers are there, not Umayyads. But they were more cruel in a way. Things have become so bad that the sixth Imam realized that if we disclose who is my heir and successor publicly, you know, Banu Abbas, they are actually looking for who will be my successor, and they will eliminate him. So what Imam did was, besides, you know, talking to his old close companions and letting them know about our seventh Imam, he actually wrote a will which was to be opened and publicly pronounced so everybody would know about it. And that's where you see our sixth Imam uses what we call Tawriyyah. Tawriyyah means to make a statement where those who are supposed to get the message get the message in the right way, where the enemies would be misled by that same statement. You know, this is, and if you look at that wasiyyah that Imam wrote, Mansur actually sent a message to his governor in Medina, and he said, "Find out where is his wasiyyah, whom has he appointed as his wasi, and whoever's name you find there, kill him and send his head to me." So Muhammad bin Sulaiman, who was the governor of Medina, you know, went and inquired about it. And then he wrote to Mansur. He said, "The command, the order that you have given to me is impossible to be implemented." "Why?" He said, "I saw the wasiyyah of the sixth Imam, and he has named five individuals. The first name is yours, Mansur. The second name is Muhammad bin Sulaiman, the governor of Medina. So I can't implement this order. The third name is of Hamida, the wife of the sixth Imam. We know that she cannot be Imam or Khalifa or Nabi or Rasul anyway. The fourth name is Abdullah, the older surviving son of sixth Imam. And the fifth name is of Musa al-Kazim, the younger son of the sixth Imam." Now, if you look at this, Imam has already confused the enemies, so they don't know who. And with Mansur's name there, he cannot go and say, "Kill whomever you find mentioned in this wasiyyah." But the Shias knew that the name of Mansur and Muhammad bin Sulaiman is there just to, you know, misguide the enemies, confuse the enemy. Hamida Khatun, she is a very respected lady in the Shia community, but she cannot be the Imam. So you eliminate her name also. Then you are left with two names, Abdullah and Musa. The Shias know Abdullah is older one, Musa is younger one. If the older one was worthy of becoming the Imam, Imam would not have mentioned the younger one. And so you eliminate the name of Abdullah also, and that's where you get the indication that the waris and the naib and the successor of the sixth Imam is none other than Musa al-Kazim alayhi salatu wasalam.
Thank you and congratulations to you on the birthday anniversary of Imam al-Kazim, peace be upon him. So happy Eid. Eid Mubarak to everyone and fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, here is some food for thought for you from the Commander of the Faithful and Leader of the Pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. When some blessings come to you, do not drive them away through thanklessness. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Here at Hadith of the Day and IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our hearty congratulations to our respected audience because today is the anniversary of the birth of the seventh Imam, Imam Musa al-Qadim alayhi salam. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful Hadith which has been transmitted from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam regarding Imam Musa al-Qadim, meaning regarding his son. One time, a person named Safwan al-Jammal, the transmitter of this hadith, he came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and he asked him who would be the imam subsequent to him, you know, after he died, after Imam Sadiq alayhi salam passed away, who would be the imam after him? In reply to Safwan, who asked about the person who would hold this position of imamate after him, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "One who holds this position does not play, nor is he distracted. Sahibu hadal amr la yalhu wa la yal'ab." He doesn't play and he doesn't do vain things. He doesn't do frivolous things. And he's not distracted by the world. This was the gist of the meaning of this statement. After the imam uttered this statement, his son, Musa bin Ja'far alayhi salam, who was a child at the time, he entered the room where the imam and this person, Safwan, were sitting, and he was holding a Meccan she-goat. He was holding a baby goat, you know, like children do. He was saying the following to this baby goat, Usjudi lirabbik, prostrate to your Lord. And then he was kind of taking the goat's head and putting it on the ground, pretending that the goat was prostrating to God. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saw his beautiful son doing this, he took him in his arms and hugged him and said, "May my parents be your ransom. May my parents be sacrificed for you. May my father and mother be sacrificed for you. La yalhu wa la yal'ab." This boy, he never plays nor is he distracted, indicating the fact that the person who would be the imam after him would be Imam Musa al-Qazim. You know, its many virtues have been reported about Imam Qadim alayhi salam. In the book Al-Irshad, the famous book about the history of the A'imma alayhi salam, it has been reported that Imam Musa bin Ja'far used to supplicate a lot and say, "O Allah, indeed I ask you for ease at the time of death and pardon at the time of the account." And he used to repeat this several times. And among his supplications were, "The sin of your slave is so great, so graceful will be the pardon from you." He used to weep out of fear of Allah until his beard was soaked with tears. He used to be the most diligent with maintaining relations with his family and his kin. He used to visit the poor of Medina at night, for whom he would take a basket of gold, silver, flour, and dates. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the virtues of Imam Qadim alayhi salam in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 48 of Surah An-Nisa on page 86. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, open your Quran the same as Ali Nasir and Fawad here. Hold it in front of you. Turn to page 86, Ayah 48 of Surah An-Nisa. 1, 2, 3. Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bih wa yaghfiru ma dun dhalika liman yasha'a wa man yushrik billahi faqad iftara ithman 'azima.
Good job. Nice one. Nice recitation. This ayah is an important ayah, okay? Let's say what Allah Almighty says in this ayah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما.
Very important ayah. Tells us about one of the greatest sins, okay? Alright? Look, Allah Almighty says, Inna Allaha, inna, like, is an emphatic word, okay? It emphasizes. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. Indeed, Allah Almighty, for sure, Allah Almighty does not forgive that any partner should be ascribed to him. Does not forgive this kind of sin. What sin? That any partner should be ascribed to him. What? Allah Almighty? Oh, in creation? I believe, okay, that, well, Allah Almighty really did not create the world. It was all of a sudden automatic. Big bang. That's all. No, Allah. If somebody thinks this way, believes this way, in the day of judgment, Allah Almighty will not forgive.
So this is a kind of shirk, or
yeah,
not?
Shirk, of course, shirk.
Shirk. No, because it is denying the existence. So
yeah,
shirk.
Look, shirk also does not only mean like you count partners. So look, if you're saying automatic, okay, it's something automatic, okay, like the universe automatically has happened, okay, this way, it means that you never believe in God. You think like something else has done the creation. Yeah? While we believe that Allah Almighty has done the creation. Not anybody else. Not the, automatic
this
things.
Is shirk and khaliqiyat?
Yeah. Shirk and khaliqiyat. The main point about shirk and khaliqiyat is this, that you believe that somebody else has done it. For example, what? For example, you create something, okay? You create something. You design, for example, a platform or whatever, okay? Design a mobile phone. You think, oh, I'm the creator. It's not God. While Allah Almighty, in fact, is the creator. Because Allah Almighty created the first materials, yes?
Yeah.
The basic materials. You just put them together. Don't be proud of yourself like you made a mobile phone. Come on. Right? If you are that smart, create the very basic things. The iron itself created. How do you create? What do? Go to the mountains. Yeah? underground search for iron. Ah, Allah Almighty has put them there. Okay? Don't think like you have done it. No way. Tawheed, for example, in tawassul, we have. Tawheed and, for example, ownership, we have. Tawheed and, for example, what? In what we have? Ibadah, we have.
Yeah.
Ibadah, we have. You worship, for God forbid, somebody else. For money, you worship. Yeah? So this kind of shirk, God forbid, okay? If you don't believe in Tawheed, instead you believe in shirk, this is called what? Ithman Azima. Allah Almighty will not forgive this. Now, وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ and whoever ascribes partners to Allah Almighty, فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا has indeed fabricated a lie, إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا in great sinfulness, okay? Has fabricated in great sinfulness. Now, Allah Almighty might, it's also depends to Allah Almighty, okay? That will whether He forgives somebody in other kind of sins, okay, or not. But sins which is shirk, Allah Almighty will not forgive it. Inna Allah la yaghfiru. La yaghfiru, look, yaghfiru, the word, the form of word, okay, based on Arabic grammar, it is mudari'ah. Mudari'ah. And mudari'ah talks about continuous things, something which is continuous. So la yaghfiru means continuous. It's continuous. Allah Almighty?
Will not forgive.
Ah, that's not forgive. It does not mean that Allah Almighty did not forgive for that person and He will give for this person. No. لا يغفر. أيُشرك به. Whoever it is, no matter it is a girl, a boy, a man, a woman, okay? He is a scholar or a normal person. He's a doctor, he got a PhD, he got a master's, whatever, okay? Anybody. That's all.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran?
آيات الله حمتني غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات.
Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
غمرتني بالبركات تحفظني من همزات الشيطان ومن زلات. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي.
Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, especially theology books, okay, about Tawheed. There are a lot of books written, okay, about Tawheed, about Usuluddin, okay, Usul Aqaidina. So you can refer to them and learn more, inshallah. Let's mention the important tajweed rules in this ayah, and then inshallah we'll end up our session with the recitation.
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Inna nun mushaddad, we got right.
Yeah.
So yes. When you have nun mushaddad, you what?
You produce a nasal sound.
Nasal sound plus.
And extend the sound for two beats.
All right, master of tajweed, mashallah. So you extend the sound for two beats, and you what? Produce a nasal sound. Inna. Then when you read the word Allah, whenever, Ali Nasir, you have to tell us. Whenever we see the word Allah, we have to look at the letter?
Before.
The vowel with the letter before.
Yeah.
So, if the letter before the word Allah, it carries a fatha or a dhamma on the top, the word Allah is pronounced how?
Heavily.
Inna Allah, Allah. What if it carries a kasra below it?
Lightly.
Bismillahi min 'indillahi. This way. Yes? Kasra. So, that's it about the word Allah. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. For sure, Fawad has to tell us this rule. An yushraka. What rule is there? Look, I'm reading it this way. The correct reading is this way. I just omitted the noon. What
yes,
happened
sir.
To it?
After the noon sakin, there's the letter ya.
Mm-hmm.
Ya is in the group of Yermanun letters,
mm-hmm.
which
are the letters of the group of idgham, mm-hmm. which basically means merging
mm-hmm.
the letter nun sakin or tanween
into the next letter.
Into the next letter.
All right.
And omitting the nun or tanween.
All right. Good job. Because you merge it, it's just disappears.
Yeah, it's omitted.
Oh, yeah. And so we have to produce a nasal sound also. Added, okay? Nasal sound. And also what? Ali Nasir? Extended for?
Two bits.
Actually, for four of the letters. Yeah, wow, meme, nun. Not for ra and la.
Yes.
So, let me read it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ Right? That's it. يُشْرَكَ بِهِ If you see, there is a fallen ya down, up, like next to the ha.
Yes.
What does it say?
Extending the sound of
All
the
right,
wow.
For two beats, okay?
Yeah.
بِهِ This way.
Yeah.
أن يشرك به ويغفر The line is pronounced heavily. ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن Again أن يشرك لمن يشاء All right. So there is a jim on the top. What to do with a jim? What does it mean?
It means that you can stop.
You can stop.
Or continue.
Good job. So this is the sign of stopping. So you can stop or continue. Jim says jais.
Yeah.
It's okay. Optional. Wamei again.
نون
بس يا ومن يشرك بالله You remember I told you that rule about Allah? We
yes.
mentioned it?
Yeah.
This is now. You got a kasra before the word Allah, so pronounced with an ahsan. ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى قا heavy letter.
And ra is
and
heavy
ra is
too.
Also heavy letter. فقد افترى You can extend the sound, okay? Ra for five or six counts because there is a hamza after it. But still, you can like skip it as well because it's optional. It's jais. Ithman azima. Tanween plus ayn says change nothing. Ithman azima.
Idhar.
Idhar. Clearly read the tanween sound. So, brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thank you so much for being up to this point with us. Now the last part of our class, we will recite it inshallah because we've mentioned the tajweed rules. Now you can recite beautifully with tajweed rules. So listen and repeat with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء
إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء
أحسن ثم ما شاء الله brothers, dear reciters ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما
ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما
ما شاء الله صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
ما شاء الله الله bless you إن شاء الله That's all for today Brothers and sisters, stay with IRB English Radio, inshallah. Thank you so much, Fawad and Ali Nasir. Thanks for being with us today. Inshallah, we'll be here with you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadi wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
The ocean of dua.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll adopt a thematic approach towards supplication, and we'll have a look at supplication from the point of view of different verses of the Holy Quran, and we'll also have a look at some parts of the transmitted supplications as well as the whispered prayers. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajil fa.
Brothers and sisters, in the previous episodes, we were discussing the important issue of the status of the supplicants. We said that the supplication of the supplicants can be approached from different perspectives. One perspective is the stage the supplicant is yearning towards the Almighty Allah. At the first stage, the request includes only one specific desire, like the desire and want of property, positions, or knowledge. So the supplicant in that stage is only concentrating on his own special want and desire. In the second stage, the supplicant is aware of the fact that the Almighty Allah likes his servants practice supplication, so he does, because he has understood the reality of Udu'uni astajib lakum, call upon me and I will answer you. In the third stage, the supplicant is totally silent and he exemplifies this expression of Hasbi min su'ali ilmuhu bihali. I dispense with invoking Allah, for it suffices me that he is aware of my state. So this stops him from calling out to the Almighty Allah for any kind of low desire and need. Now, in the fourth stage that we discussed in the previous episode, the supplicant has reached a kind of a position that knows the secrets of the creation. So we said that this fourth stage is only special for those prophets and infallible imams. This is the position of them. Now, the fifth stage. This stage is the stage in which a believer asks God only because of his own faith. Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam invokes Allah just before the last moments of her pure life and says, "O my Lord, I have no one save you to relieve my heart, to comfort my soul, to delight my eyes, to gladden my face, to brighten my features, and to ease all myself." This is what we read in Arafat's application as well. مِنْكَ أَطْلُبُ الْوُصُولَ إِلَيْكَ. I ask you to let me get to you. We also observe this expression. أَنْتَ غَايَةُ مَطْلُوبِ وَمُنَايِ. You are the end of my hopes and wishes. Imam Ali alayhi salam invokes Allah by saying, إِلَهِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي زَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ مَحَبَّتِكَ فَرَامَ مِنْكَ بَدَلًا. O my Lord, would he who tasted the sweet of your love think to resort to other than you? وَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي أَنِسَ بِقُرْبِكَ فَابْتَغَى عَنْكَ حِوَلًا. And would he who became pleased near you ever try to turn away from you? This is the reality of the fifth stage.
Why do we make supplication? And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az bala va pas. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you. Paradise, thank you Allah, now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. Knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So, dear listeners, in this fifth stage, the supplicant is asking the Almighty Allah only because of the faith, only due to his or her faith. So, that's why the infallible imams ask the Almighty Allah these kinds of requests. إِلَهِ فَاسْلُكْ بِنَا سُبُلَ الْوُصُولِ إِلَيْكِ. O Allah, guide us to the paths that get us to you. وَسَيِّرْنَا فِي أَقْرِبِ الطُّرُقِ لِلْوُفُودِ عَلَيْكِ. Make us walk in the nearest ways and take us to you. And they also ask the Almighty Allah to make them from those beloved ones, from the specific kinds of servants, from the best of the best. وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ صَفْوَتِكَ الَّذِينَ أَقْرَرْتَ أَعْيُنَهُمْ بِالنَّظَرِ إِلَيْكَ يَوْمَ لِقَائِكَ. They do not stop with their requests. They want to be from among those who are delighted by looking at the Almighty Allah. So they say, O Allah, make me among your choice, whom you will delight their eyes by letting them look at you on the day of meeting with you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam invokes Allah by saying, "Utlubni bi rahmatik hatta asila ilayk." O my Lord, grant me your mercy so that I can get to you. And Imam Ali alayhi salam prays Allah by saying, "Wastashfi'u bika ila nafsik." O Allah, I intercede with you, but by you. وَهَبْ لِيَ الْجِدَّ فِي خَشْيَتِكَ O Allah, grant me the seriousness in fearing you. وَالدَّوَامَ فِي الْإِتِّصَالِ بِخِدْمَتِكَ O Allah, help me keeping on serving you. وَأَدْنُوَ مِنْكَ دُنُوَ الْمُخْلِصِينَ Make me be close to you as the closeness of the sincere ones. So you see, in this stage, Imam Ali alayhi salam is not just asking to be among the good servants of the Almighty Allah, but among the best of the best, among the people of the choice. وَأَجْتَمِعَ فِي جِوَارِكَ مَعَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So that I can be near you, but also with the believers. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye. Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah. I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you throughout my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Every night and every day. Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs
الله هو ذا الرحمن الله هو ذا المنان
لا إله إلا الله
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sheikh Karimi is with me in the studio to answer questions on Islamic beliefs. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
So, in different